Hello, Rebels. Before we kick off today's episode, let me ask you a question. What if we could help you unlock your marketing superpowers in one day or less? Actually, to be precise, I mean 3 hours. Yes, you heard it right. What I'm asking you is 3 hours of your time to join us for a brand new intensive experience, our marketing deep dive. One day masterclass that will help you create marketing strategies that capture hearts and mind. And every single masterclass is going to dive deep into one of our favorite topics of marketing. Maybe that email marketing, hiring, or even automations and beyond. If you want to get the fast track ticket to become irresistible, then I'll suggest you check out our upcoming marketing deep dive, where you're going to get 2 hours of hands-on training with lots of exercises and practical group work as well. Plus, 1 hour bonus office hours and Q&A. Oh, and we also have a personalized dashboard and bonus templates to help you apply what you learn in our 3 hours. And just to put a little bow on it, you also get a certificate of completion to show off wherever you fancy. If you'd like to find out what is coming up next and which one is our next marketing deep dive, all you have to do is go to amschool.click/masterclass. There you'll be able to find our schedule with our upcoming masterclass for you to join. On with today's show. Hello, Rebel. Are you still waiting to optimize the website of yours to bring all the best leads to your new or old online home? Well, I have something to help you do just that. Hostinger is changing the game with their managed WordPress hosting. It's like having a dedicated WordPress butler handling all the nitty-gritty website business for you. Of course, I took Hostinger's Managed WordPress for a spin, and it's a game changer. It's fast, it's secure, and loaded with premium features, all without the premium price tag. They got your back with updates, backups, and top-notch security, aka peace of mind. This is a performance powerhouse for your WordPress site. Lightning fast load times, rock solid uptime, and a user-friendly control panel. Whether you're a WordPress newbie or a seasoned pro, Hostinger has you covered. Ready to elevate your WordPress experience? Zoom over to hostinger.com/AMS and use the promo code AMS to snag 10% off and claim your free domain. Transform your WordPress journey today. On with today's class. Hello team, and welcome back to Alt Marketing School. Fab here, founder, head teacher, Alt Marketing School. And if you're hearing this today, it's because long overdue, I'm introducing you to one of the whole stars, one of the OGs of Alt Marketing School, Kalila, who has been with us since the beginning, but eventually I roped her in the podcast and also recording a masterclass that dives deeper into SEO for user intent and content. So welcome and thank you for being here with us today.
I'm so happy to be here. And yes, it is long overdue, my goodness.
But we manage, and we're going to talk about one of our favorite topics, which makes me really excited.
Yay.
SEO. All right, SEO. So I actually have a question. I think it's nice to put things into context. So I'm going to actually start with a question that might not be best practices, but I'm sure it will lead us to that, which is, obviously, we decided together which class for you to teach at the beginning of AMS. As I mentioned, you are one of our OG. You teach in our certification as well. And SEO became quite a natural progression because in the past, we connected in other ways. And SEO was always a topic that really, you know, you were passionate about. But you have a PhD in marketing, you were running an agency, so I'm pretty sure a lot of the marketing you did was spanning across different disciplines. Why do you particularly love SEO, or why is a topic that you give back to yourself and you talk about a lot? Is it a means? Is it a passion? Is it just started to happen? Tell us a bit more about that as well.
Oh, such a good question. I guess that there's a double-pronged answer, so I'll keep the personal side short, but probably if I could be anything in the world, it would be a writer. And one thing that I really love about SEO is the fact that it relies on content, it relies on words. So that really aligns my writerly ways, I suppose we'll say. But I also think that from a more kind of hardcore marketing perspective, the thing that's awesome about SEO is that we can see little bits of it in almost every other digital marketing discipline. From obviously, we've talked about like how important it is to get traffic to your site. And obviously, Google will then read that user experience. So there's like paid ads. Are you sending traffic to your site? To social media. Again, social media presence is so important. So basically, every time that I would do any other kind of channel for digital marketing, SEO always came up. And so that's what I really love about it, is that it just is pretty much everywhere and omnipresent across the digital marketing landscape.
And I actually am going to second that, because I think it's very fascinating when we think about, I remember keywords became eventually something that people were focusing on when it came to Instagram, for example. It just kind of popped up to be actually optimizing the way that you write your content or your alt text or even your captions or anything in between. And people started to reflect on that. And I was thinking about all us content marketers who started from the old days of long form content, already thinking about it from an SEO perspective. And we talked about SEO a few times. In my opinion, we don't talk about it enough, if you ask me, because I think what I love about it, and my other point and question, because I know that it comes up a lot, is that I believe, and I know from the masterclass that we also talked about together, that there is a lot of technical elements to SEO. But I also believe, and I want to hear your opinion, that a lot of it is also about common sense of humans creating content for humans. And I still think that side of it gets a bit overshadowed by the important things that we need to do from a technical background. But there's a lot of it that is also, how can you make your content more engaging for actual human beings?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, as I said in the class, it is important to make sure that, for example, your site can be crawled and indexed by a search engine, or else you're not going to show up in the results. But it's highly unlikely, particularly for most businesses that are using these out-of-the-box solutions, that that's a problem or one that should really hold you back from starting to create content. And I think that people get so overwhelmed by thinking about that they're like, okay, I'm just not going to do anything at all. Rather than the fact that what you're really trying to do is give people more information that could be useful to them. And most of us start businesses or work in businesses because we're passionate about what we do. So most of us have great things we want to say anyway. And as long as you can come to it from that perspective, then you usually are like 85% of the way there, 85, 90% of the way there. But I think that because there are these technical elements, and because, as I referenced today in the class, there are shortcuts, if you want to think about it, in terms of where you put your keywords, for example, that can be really overwhelming, I think, to people. They overlook the fact that actually, hey, just if you have something you want to say and you are a good person to do that kind of talking, which usually you are, if you're working in marketing, you're the communicator of the bunch. Again, you're 90% of the way there and you should just jump in and do it.
Yes. And it's kind of funny that piece of advice I find is what stuns most people, and including our students as well. Historically, we know SEO is very important, but also we're really not lucky necessarily, because we made it as a conscious decision that even in our certification, there's an SEO class because it's so important. And we know so historically from all our certification students that the biggest obstacle that we find is everybody's like, yeah, just get on with it. And people feel stunted. What would you say to somebody who has this thing? It's like, I'm retaining all of this information, I'm learning these things, but I just don't know where to start. Would you say, is it overwhelm? Is it, again, maybe the technicalities that make them feel like a bit kind of stunted? What would you say is the main thing that can stop us, and what could we do about it?
Yeah, I think that it is 100% the fact that, and I mean, I've been there before too. I mean, I'm still in there. It's the fact that this is an ever-changing field. So I don't think you can ever feel like, okay, I've like summited that mountain. I know all that there is to know about it. There is always going to be something, if you are super oriented to, hey, I'm someone that I want to know like everything. And again, being a marketer, being a good communicator, I think most of us are oriented to, I want to understand something before I start to talk about it or I start to do it. But I think that we just have to accept that, okay, this is literally an ever-changing area. And we can't know everything about it anyway, because as I said in the class, there are over 200 ranking factors that these search engines usually take into consideration, and not all of them are made public. So it's a bit of a black box anyway. So instead, being oriented to action is something that I actually have very recently decided that I need to do. So rather than trying to get more theoretical knowledge, which is very important to, you know, a degree, starting to actually do something and then learning and being okay with failing and making mistakes, that is really the best way to learn, because you can only take theoretical knowledge so far. And so if that literally looks like, okay, I'm going to write something in a Google Doc and then copy and paste that onto my blog and see if I get even just like one impression through organic search, like that is you having done something, that is you being oriented to action, and that is you actually getting a result on your own. And that may sound really like silly and small, but actually that's huge, because that's you actually getting that result rather than just being like, oh yeah, I kind of know a little bit about it, but I'm overwhelmed and I don't want to get started. That's you taking that knowledge and putting it into.
This is my happy action dance. Again, one of the 50 million reasons why I love Kalila as well, as you can attest here, is because as a teacher, and we're wonderful teachers, I always want to say this because obviously, but as a teacher, I know how much you put when it comes to sharing the intent into actually doing things. I mean, people reflect and also act on it. And as you say, something that we constantly learn, I have to remind ourselves. And I think it's really important in a lot of the more technical or specialized or niche areas of marketing. Not to say that social media doesn't require that, but I also find that a lot of us tend to start naturally with some fields, and then we want to tap into that, leveling up to add more things into our toolkit.
Yeah.
And these are the more specialized technical areas that might require understanding of a tool and other things like this is about, as you say, taking that extra step. And I'm actually going to swirl a bit though on something that you mentioned. I want to kind of highlight that because I know it's part of the best practices and questions that a lot of people have is, how do I start seeing whether my SEO is working? I want to start with something that you mentioned because people might not have picked it up. Actually understanding where the numbers and the impression live in your Google Analytics is very important. So knowing that organic search shows us exactly that, I think is one great step that I wanted to highlight myself. But please tell us more and maybe tell us a bit more about that, because that's one of the other things. It's like, okay, aside from just more visits in my website, how can I actually pinpoint where does that come from and what type of SEO keywords or things I'm doing right?
Yeah, I think that's such a good question. And coming back to like the fact that social media always feels like kind of the most accessible entry point, I think the reason that that is because you can see in real time whether it's working or it's not. Whereas some of these other things feel much more like a black box because you have to use other tools and things like that. So one thing that I would say is like, there's no excuse for 99% of the cases that people should just have Google Analytics for. Like have Google Analytics for installed on your site. And as you said, look and see about the actual just number of people who are coming to your site through organic search. If you then filter down by a source medium report, you could even look at the source of what organic search engine basically. So for most of us, that's going to be Google. You could also see, for example, like Bing, Ecosia, some of those other search engines. So that's one place where you can say like, cool, my site is being like indexed by multiple search engines, right? Which is always a nice feeling. The other way that you can kind of look at things if you want to get a little bit more granular into that is you can look at Google Search Console, another completely free tool. So again, no reason why not to use it. And you can look at the number of actual pages are ranking and what keywords those pages are ranking for. So you can see things like your name, for example, because lots of us start businesses and people Google us because we are our businesses to a certain extent, brand name, and then also some of those like more kind of search intent-y keywords. So depending on what it is you're offering, the service or product, you might see that you're ranking for some really great keywords that align with that. And so that's really cool to see like, cool, I'm not only like ranking for those, but you can see how many impressions, meaning how many people actually see those on search results, and how many clicks that you get. So again, you're like looking at that both from the perspective of like Google and knowing how Google's going to look at that, but then also for your own edification to know that it's working or it's not. The only other tool that I would say might be useful as you kind of go down this route and get more and more familiar is a tool like the SEM Rushes or Ahrefs of the world. So those help you understand in a really deep way the search volume that these keywords are driving to your site, the breakdown of like branded versus non-branded search. So as I referenced before, if someone's searching your name or your business name versus kind of more general keywords like the name of the product or service that you're offering. And you can even get a breakdown of the search intent. So keywords by search intent compare that to your competitors, like that's where you would get more hyper-targeted to refine your SEO strategy over time.
One of the things that like really jumped out at me from what you were talking about, aside from the fact that Google Console, I discovered it a bit too late myself, you know, where I was like, why have I not set it up earlier? Because it's actually super helpful. And one of the things I noticed with, one of the things that I noticed with one of our clients, and then it made me think about my way of approaching actually as well, some of the knowledge that I'm gathering from tools like this, is that they were ranking for kind of leadership coaching a lot. And so one of the suggestions that we made was that, well, it would be worthwhile for you to thinking about writing some content that actually maybe explains what it is or kind of, you know, iterates that as well. And it goes back to one of the elements that we talk about in class as well, you know, in the class that we did, is obviously understanding user intent, but also from a content perspective. And this is my piece of advice, and I would love to hear if you have something along these lines or something else as a, again, one of those little actionable things that we can do. And it would be to looking at some of these words that come up and then seeing if you already are producing content that taps into these keywords or related keywords, or if you're not, and maybe it's worth a while for you to start doing that, because one of the things that we also feel stunted sometimes is actually just creating content. What should I write about? What does my audience want to see? And I think actually this type of SEO knowledge can help you also answer that question. What does my audience want to see? They're looking for specific things. We talk about the funnel as well in the class, you know, and if we can kind of pinpoint a couple of these things they're looking for, we're already working through that funnel with them. So that's my piece of advice based on what you mentioned that kind of jumped at me and my personal experience with one of our clients. I want to hear from you as well when it comes to, you know, the intersection of creating new content, because we talk a lot about auditing and refining content and refining our website, but creating new content and or feeding the intent. What is the one thing that you love to do or that you love to recommend people doing to actually improve this connection and this cycle almost?
Yeah, so I think that looking at Search Console and understanding, well, what are the keywords that we're ranking for? And are we like meeting people's intent? Like what page is that actually bringing people to usually? And does that page actually meet that is a very good thing to do. So I totally echo that one. The other thing that I think is interesting is doing basically that, but kind of backwards. So looking at Search Console, seeing what keywords you're ranking for or seeing what keywords you're not ranking for, and then actually going to Google and searching for those keywords. So for example, I was doing work with a femtech company and we were focused on helping people who had PCOS symptoms. And we were ranking for PCOS, the keyword itself, but we weren't ranking for a lot of the different symptoms. So one of the things that we tried to understand was, well, why is that? We're creating all of this content that's specific for some of these symptoms. So it sounds like really silly and obvious, but I don't think people do this enough. What happens when I just Google something like hot flush? What happens when I Google, you know, facial hair? What things are coming up? And if you can understand what is already coming up, because again, Google is such a fine-tuned machine. It understands when someone is Googling that, what their search intent is. It also will help you understand what kind of content you should create to align with that search intent. So you can either use your own site as like an inspiration, or you can use other sites as an inspiration as well.
Piggybacking on that, yes. Extra thing based on that you can also start doing, because I love that. If you do exactly what Kalina mentioned, if you go after, I think it's the first, you know better than me, the first or the second, usually kind of organic or paid sometimes, a Google recommendation, there's something called people also ask. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we think about utilizing that enough. What are people also asking? There are other tools as well that you can use. But even just that, I think, obviously, when people go to Google, a lot of people still go to Google. You give us a stat in the class as well. Is that 93%, I believe, still?
Yes.
But that was really fascinating for me. Is like people also ask, especially when it's a topic that has got a big volume. And then you find other things, other questions. Like we don't realize that the user intent for most platforms when it comes on social media and marketing is really about how can I do something or what is this? Or what does it mean? Yeah. It's question based. We're trying to answer questions in our brain. So actually seeing what are some of the other questions that people ask can really, really help us, I find, finding those gaps, because it's really important. You mentioned, what are the gaps? What are the things that we don't even know that our people don't know, right?
Totally.
I have one more question for you, because we already give people a lot of things to think about and a lot of things to do. But my question would be, based on one more element of SEO that I think is important to talk about, even if I said people talk about a bit too much and forget about the other things, which is the auditing piece. Because it can also feel very huge. Yeah. And people feel, I don't have the money for an agency. I don't have the time to do it myself. I don't even know where to start. So if we put ourselves in the scenario of the busy marketer, fun fact, I say all the time these days because I learned it, HubSpot said that a marketer on average works on 9 campaigns at a time. So most of us,
nine.
So most of us are busy.
Yeah.
So if you're a busy marketer, but you still want to get started at least with auditing, you know, you just want to get it as a practice before maybe you outsource it or you do it in other ways. What would you say would be, I'm going to be quick, giving a constraint here, 3 steps or 3 things that people should prioritize or make time for if they were to do an audit? Can be anything, whether it's a content, the website, the technicalities. What would that be? Just to give us a starting point that feels achievable.
I think that the most important thing is to understand if you have any technical blockers. And I think, again, this probably strikes the fear into many hearts, like, oh, I don't want to hear the word technical. But actually, you can download a tool such as Screaming Frog. Great name, by the way. I believe, at least as of this recording, it's still free because I just did this last week, but these things always change. But you can download a tool like that and you can actually have it scrape your site and it will, in a very accessible way, essentially show you how many pages it can read. And that's just a really great way to know, like, okay, most marketers would understand how many pages a website does have. You can also figure that out very easily and cheaply. You just need to Google, how many pages does my website have? And you can follow those steps. Compare what Screaming Frog has told you to what your website actually has and see, is this number basically aligned? If it's not, that means you probably have some technical issues that need to be addressed. So I would suggest that that's a really good starting point. Another is to use, most tools will offer you like a 7-day or 14-day free trial, but go to an SEMrush or something like that. I think something that's really interesting to look at is how many keywords and what keywords it is that you're ranking for and the balance between whether they're branded and non-branded, which is why you need a tool like SEMrush, because I think that that helps you understand a little bit about, well, if you have like 95% branded traffic, that means that the thing you really need to be focusing on is creating content about your services and your products, but that are not branded. So that's helping you like drive more people, right? Whereas something, if you have lots of branded traffic, that means you've done a great job driving brand awareness. But again, you need to have more people coming to your site than the people who actually just already know about your brand. So I think that that's a really useful spend of time too. And then the final thing is, we didn't get to talk too much about this, but link building is becoming more and more important to actually rank. And so again, in that like free trial, you would be able to understand a little bit more about your link profile. And if you have essentially zero, which a lot of people are starting from pretty much scratch, right, with websites referring back to their websites, you can also build out an internal link building campaign. So, you know, run 10 campaigns instead of 9. But the intention of that essentially is that you start to create a trail from one of your web pages to another one, and that will again help with your SEO. And since that is becoming a more and more important ranking factor, understanding where you're starting and just thinking through, I'm writing a blog, and actually I wrote a blog that's kind of related a couple years ago, I can actually link back to that other blog. Like, just having that initial thought is a really great thing to do, I think, in a fairly easy step in the right direction.
These are great auditing steps. Thank you so, so much. And obviously, thank you so much for taking the time as well to answer all these amazing questions. And now to finish the podcast, we are on our quick fire round. Khalila, this is fast. This is easy. This is quick. We got 2 choices. You're going to give me the 1 out of the 2.
All right.
We ready?
We're ready.
Okay. Good. Spotify playlist or podcast?
Podcast.
Voice note or text?
Voice note.
Was it hands down or was it kind of
either? Yeah. Voice notes. I'm so lazy when it comes to writing a text. I want a voice note. And I also talk too much. So, yeah.
I cannot really relate with my talking. Carousels or reels?
Reels.
TikTok or YouTube?
Ooh, TikTok.
Nice. Short form. And finally, last but not least, the important, memes or GIFs?
Ooh, GIF. Funnier.
I agree. Again, there's no right or wrong, but I always cheer when I hear gifts. So, you know, before we have people just remind where they can find out more about you, obviously ask any more questions about SEO they might have, but anything in between, because your marketing journey is a very inspiring one. I have one quick fire, but a bit different. Since you've been with us since the beginning, I think it's fair for me to be cheeky and ask, if you were to describe Alt Marketing School with one word, what would that be?
Ooh, accessible.
Why is that?
So, yes, I get more than one word. Wonderful. I think that there's very few courses and schools out there that, as we've been talking about today, are oriented to action. They want people to learn a lot, and that's very, very important. But as I said before, there's no substitute for actually like getting out there and doing it. And I think that the content that we create and the school that you have built, which is amazing and just you are an inspiration, is all about getting people kind of like off of the theoretical kind of ivory tower and into the world and using that knowledge that they have generated, because there's absolutely no substitute to like learning by doing. So I think that that's really important.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I love that this is what we are building. And that's why I love to have people like yourself in, and obviously inside the school as well, because I think we share the same way and vision of how to make any marketer, new marketer, upskilling marketer, better by actually doing and feeling supported when they're doing, that they can get the answer or the guidance they need, which I think is so important. So if people need more guidance, if people want to check you out, where should they go? One final reminder.
They can Google me.
Damn, Skippy, they can.
There we go. Yes, it comes full circle. My website is my name, KalilaJones.com, and you can find me on LinkedIn too.
Well, team, as always, it has been an absolute pleasure. And thank you so much, Kalila. I'm going to say one more time.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything you do. And thank you for being with us for a very long time and sticking around and being amazing. Team, as always, has been a pleasure. But until next time, class dismissed.